Welcome, folks. Today, we're discussing an interesting topic, how to value in vivo gene therapy companies. It's a bit of a hot area right now, and the traditional ways of valuing companies might not quite cut it.
I see. So what makes valuing these gene therapy companies so different from, say, a regular pharmaceutical company?
That's a great question. The key difference is that in vivo gene, therapies often offer one-time treatments, with potentially durable or even curative benefits. This contrasts with traditional drugs that patients might need to take for a long time, even for life. This one-and-done nature really throws a wrench into the standard valuation models.
Okay, I'm starting to get it. So what are some of these traditional valuation methods, and where do they fall short?
Well, there are three main approaches. First, there's the cost method, which values a company based on how much it would cost to replace or rebuild its assets. But this is rarely used for healthcare companies, especially gene therapy companies, because it's nearly impossible to replicate their intellectual property or specialized assets. There aren't really liquid markets for those components.
That makes sense. What about the other methods?
And the second approach is market methods, also known as relative valuation. This involves comparing a company to its peers using metrics like price-to-earnings ratios, or looking at precedent mergers and acquisitions. It's faster than other methods, but it can lead to a consensus bias.
A consensus bias? What does that mean?
It means that analysts might just follow the crowd and miss out on identifying companies with hidden value. Plus, many gene therapy companies don't have revenues or are not profitable, so those metrics are hard to apply. Also, finding truly comparable companies can be difficult. Each gene therapy company can be quite unique. I see, interesting. So what's the third method? The third is discounted cash flow analysis, or DCF. This is often preferred because it's based on fundamental finance theory. You forecast the company's future cash flows and then discount them back to their present value. It's flexible and can account for things like faster approvals or lower promotion costs.
Sounds promising. So what's the catch? Why isn't DCF the perfect solution?
The biggest issue with DCF for gene therapy companies is the terminal value. This is the estimated value of the business beyond your explicit forecast period, and it can account for a huge chunk, sometimes 50 to 70%, of the company's total valuation. This gives analysts a lot of leeway, and it's very sensitive to assumptions about long-term growth. Also, DCF doesn't easily account for intangible assets like brand value.
Ah, I see. So the terminal value is like a big question mark that can really skew the results.
Exactly. And here's another wrinkle. Gene therapies often have upfront pricing. Because they're one-time treatments, companies charge a high price upfront. This can actually lower the DCF valuation because it reduces the terminal value, even if the total cash flows over the long term are the same. It's a bit counterintuitive.
Wow, that's really interesting. So a company with a great product could actually be undervalued because of the way it's priced?
Precisely. The paper uses Avexis, which developed Zolgensma for spinal muscular atrophy, as a case study. Their one-time treatment model, while beneficial for patients, presented valuation challenges. The potential for rapid adoption and upfront revenue recognition could lead to a lower DCF valuation compared to a scenario where payments are spread out over time, like in a pay-for-performance model.
So, what's the alternative? How should we be valuing these companies if traditional DCF has limitations?
And the authors suggest considering the value delivered to society. Gene therapies can save healthcare costs in the long run and improve patients' lives dramatically. The Chardon Sustainable Medicine Framework is mentioned, which emphasizes that companies delivering the most value to society should have higher valuations. Also, market methods might be more appropriate in some cases, especially for companies with rapid uptake and upfront pricing.
That makes sense. It's not just about the numbers, it's about the impact.
Exactly. The paper also looks at different portfolio scenarios for gene therapy companies. They found that the limitations of DCF are more pronounced for companies with less product diversification or when the terminal valuation is determined further out in the future.
So, diversification helps to smooth out the cash flows and make DCF more reliable?
Yes, that's the idea. The more diversified a company's portfolio, the less sensitive the DCF valuation is to the terminal value assumption.
Got it. So to wrap things up, what's the key takeaway from this paper?
The main point is that traditional valuation methods have limitations when applied to in vivo gene therapy companies. We need to consider the unique characteristics of these therapies, such as their one-time nature, upfront pricing, and potential for durable benefits. And importantly, we need to factor in the value they deliver to society. The authors suggest that market methods might be more appropriate in some cases, and that robust valuation methodologies should focus on shared value.
This has been incredibly insightful. Thanks for breaking down such a complex topic.
My pleasure. It's a rapidly evolving field, and it's important to understand the nuances of valuing these innovative companies. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you found this discussion on valuing gene therapy companies informative. Until next time, goodbye.